Oh, hello, and welcome to Audente Rigamortis. I'm Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the E stands for evil.
And I'm the gamer in yellow.
And we're here to discuss those internet stories, most creepy and most pasta, and be critically silly doing it. And tonight we have Movie Buff 23, 90 feet away. So, this is another story by Serena Wrights, because this was on her list of stories specifically to cover on the show. Through her email.
Brutally so.
Yeah, well, we can be as brutally honest as we want. And again, we're going to give the story the same treatment we give all the stories that come on the pop up on our show. So, yeah. But yeah, so this is by Serena Wrights. It's on creepypasta.wiki. And yeah, before we get settled in, let's give our initial recommendations. I'm going to.
Hello?
No, sorry, my pregnant pause was a little too pregnant there. It's a term for like doing a really long pause, like a pregnant pause.
Oh, I was going to say, when are you expecting?
I hate you. but yeah, I am going to tentatively recommend the story.
I'm going to not recommend this story.
Ditto, actually.
Interesting.
For who I'm dittoing, you'll never know, Mikey.
Yeah, I assume. We all assumed, gamer.
All right.
All right, well, let's find out why we gave those quite dynamic, overpowering recommendations or non-recommendations. Starting with the rundown. So Sandy is checking Grindr for someone to be with one night, to little or no avail, but suddenly he gets a notification from someone, however, a really cute guy going by Movie Buff 23 and 90 feet away credits, but from Sandy's location. The person also sends a message, and as Sandy replies back, inquiring about why they are so close to their current location, it's revealed that this person is a neighbor's son, Ike. Sandy agrees for Ike to come over, watch some DVDs, and chill. Upon arriving, Ike practically sweeps Sandy off his feet, and then Ike pulls out an unbranded DVD out of a bag and pops it into the player before cuddling up to Sandy. And then the film that's shown on the DVD reveals Ike and Sandy, with Ike torturing Sandy with a taser. And Sandy, in real life, begins feeling that taser, or at least the shocks of it. Confused, Sandy reels from the pain, and Ike insists they keep watching. Sandy suffers more pain as film Ike begins drilling into film Sandy, and Ike gets up off the couch and reveals that this has been going on for about 5 months now, since Ike's parents died in a car crash. For some reason, Ike and Sandy hooked up 5 months ago, and I guess Ike started killing, Ike killed Sandy and taped it, but then despite that, despite Sandy dying, both in the film and in reality, every night, he comes back in the morning and forgets the previous events. Ike is very curious about as to why this is. And so he's been doing this for 5 months now. Ike leaves Sandy to finish the death loop before Sandy feels a gun at the back of his head and it goes off. And it's the next morning. And for a long time now, Sandy has been waking up with a headache on his living room floor. No idea why. He then goes to check Grindr for another prospect, to little or no avail. Finn. So that was the rundown for Movie Buff 23, 90 feet away. And let us move on to Everyone Tolerates the Grand Inquisitions at this point. And I've got a few. I'm going to start with this one here. Can I come over? I'll bring some DVDs. So DVDs in that sentence is lowercase DVDs, like DVDs. I wanted to correct this with saying that usually DVDs has the DVD part cap, like all caps. But this and all the other replies previous and after in this section of the story are technically text messages with bad typos and grammar. So say it with me. It's the way the character
types
or types. Yeah. I gave this entire section a pass because it's totally how people type on and the type of typos that you get in texts and typing and stuff like that.
That being said, these days autocorrect might just fix that.
See, I'm both with you and against you on that because like I hate autocorrect 100%. Like it is
It's horrible, but
constantly fucking over my own spelling on texts. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's just as valid. because they're clearly
gonna open a text with you right now and type in DVD and see what happens.
Well, no, I'm also saying like this was purposely added to the story. This was not like an unintentional like typos and errors and stuff like that. This was meant to be in the story for like that kind of flavor or immersion. So yeah, that's why I'm not actually going to gripe too hard on the fact that DVDs should be in all caps in this one, because I'm not talking about any of the other like issues with the text messages in this section, because it's clearly intentional for the immersion of it. So
yeah,
but I'll move on to the next thing here. I opened the door for Ike. His hair's somehow perfectly kept, even at this hour. So, a tense talk, I suppose. Welcome to my tense talk, kind of.
Okay.
Most of the story appears to be in present tense, though there's a few moments where words use contractions that could be construed as past tense. And this sentence in particular does have a past tense to it. Like, so I think it should be like, I opened the door for Ike, not I opened the door for Ike. There's just a few.
Did you just say the same thing twice? Am I mishearing you?
I open, like OPEN, the door.
Yeah.
For Ike. That's the correction. Because in the story, it's I opened the door. OPENED.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Just for like, because like, obviously, maybe my voice, maybe I'm just not able to like pronounce it properly.
Or I was just wasn't paying attention to you as much as I should.
I mean,
are we recording right now?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Get your game face on, gamer.
Yeah, my game face is always on.
I wear no game face. But yeah, so it's sort of like it's a micro. It's sort of like a tentative tense talk for me because like there's a couple of, I think it's this sentence and like there might be like one or two other times in the story where I was like, when I was reading it, I wasn't sure if it was past tense or present tense. Like I was like, this feels like it's past tense, but everything, there's a lot of like contractions. Like there's like, just like the, instead of like that will do or that would do, it's like that'll do kind of thing. Mm. There's just like certain words in the story as I was reading. I was like, is this past tense or present tense? I can't. But then most of the story is present tense. So like, I think there just might be like one or two instances that like, if you just like went over the story, you'd be able to like track them down and like change them to present tense. But that's going to be my convoluted tense talk. The next thing I have here is he was a plain black t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants. Okay, so he's just a set of clothing.
Yes, with hair.
with hair, yeah.
And floating eyes, I guess.
Yeah. In all seriousness,
his skin texture didn't load in.
Like, oh god,
it happens to the best of us.
Oh no, it's one of those, it's that horrifying like Assassin's Creed Unity glitches where like you're having the romance scene and then your the character's like love interest is it just hurt her eyes and teeth.
Yeah, pretty much. Sounds about right.
As you for the kiss, it's like, oh god,
horrifying. True horror.
Yeah. But like in all seriousness, I think the was there should be wore, or maybe even he's wearing. So like it was either he wore a plain black t-shirt, although that would be past tense. So like I think it should be he's wearing a plain black t-shirt and a pair of sweatpants. And then my last grammar inquisition is as follows. Ike laughed. I shot this several months ago with you. So you not remember? I think it should be so you don't remember, or so you would remember, maybe even.
Perhaps.
Because it's like either he's like asking Sandy if like, so you don't remember this, or get rid of that question mark at the end. So it's like, I shot this several months ago with you, so you would remember.
Yeah.
I know it's dialogue, but I feel in this case, this is actually a typo or an error, not like the text messages from earlier.
Yeah. Also, it's good to fix this for clarity too, because what's the reason? Is it so he would remember, or is he questioning why he doesn't remember? Which seems weird, because this is 5 months into him killing him over and over. So
yeah, and he's been
doing. He should not be surprised anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. But that is the end of my grammar inquisition. So, Mikey, these stands for evil.
I have a conjunction junction.
All right.
And next stop, conjunction junction.
It's 11 p.m. and none of the fish are biting. It's the first time I've ever seen that on a real person. And his distance from me is... It says he sent me a message, so maybe a response should clear things up. It didn't have any branding on it. It didn't have more than a black screen with white text that read, "Never let me die." And it looked exactly like this very moment. It's not stopping at all. But Ike isn't even touching me anymore. And every night you die. It's like I've captured you. It's fascinating. It hurts. Finn.
Okay. So what I got from that visual, like I was actually like trying to play that in my head just based off of the context we have from those sentences. And what I got was Sandy's out fishing. Like a pond or something like that, but like they're not getting anything. He gets a message on his phone or something like that, or he sees somebody on the shore who's like some distance away. He's not really sure how far. And then he gets a message on his phone, and it's like the whole the death part, or the death script, like the death text, death title, and stuff. And then he does catch a fish and starts talking to it.
And when you take out all the context in between these
things, so weird. Yeah, it's very, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was also like a part where I was visualizing that like he's actually like on the shoreline, like where he's fishing. There's also like there's actually a big like drive-in movie theater screen that's playing a movie or something.
Yeah.
While he's fishing.
Very dreamlike logic on that one.
Yep.
But that's kind of what happens when Mikey takes a bunch of sentences throughout the story and that start with words that they probably shouldn't, like it's and or buts, and he puts them together in the story. And for the purpose of, there's always better words to use at the start. I fucked up how I say that, but it's fine.
it's all good.
I mixed it up. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. And then Gamer, do we have a grammar in yellow?
No, because you got mine.
Fair. All right. Well, then we'll step into the actual thoughts of the story. I feel like mine's going to be very positive and you guys are going to be very critical.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. It's weird.
You're being very negative right now.
I know. I'm being very negative and critical of you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with the title. Movie Buff 23, 90 feet away. So the title at a glance seems creepy to start off with, but isn't the actual source of the creepiness in the story while still being poignant to the story? And I like that. Like, cause like when you read it, it's like Movie Buff 23, 90 feet away, like that. And in the story, like there is something that happens or like we get this and we get a little bit more context to this title specifically. And it's like, okay, that's actually kind of creepy. though, and as I was kind of like taking this note down for the episode, another idea for a title popped up in my head for this story. So you could call this story also Grindr House. Sort of like a play on grindhouse, like movie genre, which is a film genre that's very, very deep into splatterpunk horror and like exploitation style horror, where it's like lots of, there's a lot of focus on like sex and violence and graphic and gratuitous, visceral experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And also a play on the word grinder, which is that hookup or the hookup app. So yeah, it's also, it's also like Grindr's the app, and it's in a in Sandy's house. So, yeah.
No, it's the house that like the owners of the Grindr app like run it from with all the servers and stuff.
Yeah,
that's the Grindr house.
Yeah, yeah. Also, if you want to take it even further, technically Ike's been grinding experience in a way by doing this for like 5 months now, trying to figure out why Sandy keeps coming back after
the, I thought you meant he's been like farming experience off of Sandy.
Well, I mean like
experience points.
in a way he has been, because he's been trying to learn from like what's been going on.
Yeah.
And it's, after 5 months is still coming up nothing, is, or he still can't try to figure out why Sandy keeps coming back. At this point, he's just being a masochist or a sadist, whichever one is when you imply
sadist.
Sadistic. Sadist is when you imply pain to another person. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're sadistic.
Right, yeah, yeah. So yeah, he's being a real sadist right now with like torment.
Said it with such certainty, I'm pretty sure I'm right. Google, help me.
Oh god, he's floundering. Help! Help!
Inflicting pain and humiliation on others. Yes, I'm right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Your confidence has been restored.
Yeah, I know a thing.
Yeah. Mikey, did you want to bring up something from that, or sound like? You...
Oh, I was just saying for the name of the story, you could have taken that from the text. Never Let Me Die.
Oh yeah,
it was on the DVD.
That also been the title for it. Yeah, like there's like, don't get me wrong, Movie Buff 23, 90 feet away is good, because it's a creepy sort. It's an interesting and kind of creepy title that is connected to the story, but it also doesn't give away what's actually the creepiness of the source of the creepiness in the story.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, but I'll move on to the next thing I have here. His well-groomed black hair accentuates his shockingly purple eyes. It's the first time I've ever seen that on a real person. He has this sort of aura you don't see often. His face is so friendly, yet there's something mysterious behind his eyes. So, I don't want to stereotype, but at least in fiction and creepypasta specifically that we've covered in the last, say, like 6-7 months, if someone has purple eyes, it usually means there's something bad about them in the story. I believe the story we covered back in the fall, A Fishing Trip, had like the main character's like love interest have like striking purple eyes. And then it was revealed that she was not only supernatural, but also like the antagonizing entity in the story.
Okay, but contacts exist.
Yes, contacts do exist, but it's still like, In stories and stuff, if a character is described as having very striking purple eyes and they're natural, there's probably something sinister about them in the creepypasta.
Well, as far as Google says, violet eyes, this color is most often found in people with albinism. It is said that you cannot have violet eyes without albinism.
So, yeah, and that's if somebody actually Googled that. So, if you're not aware of that, yeah, either they have contacts on, or there's something up with them. Like, basically, it's sort of a red flag. in horror fiction, if somebody has such unique eyes, is what I was kind of getting at with this. So, throughout the from the start of the story, I was like, I'm going to keep my eye on Movie Buff here.
Nice.
Yeah, that was all build up for a fucking eye pun. I'm sorry.
Wow.
But I'll move on to the next thing here. This kind of ties into something I brought up earlier about the fact that he's 90 feet away and such. So the quote is, "He's on here looking for friends and hookups, which is the same for me. And his distance from me is .. 90 feet away, or 90 feet. That can't be right." That is actually really a really creepy situation right there. weird coincidence at best. This quote. Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, continue, but I have something to say about this.
Okay. And also, this quote and the rest of the paragraph are basically a fragmented title drop.
I mean, yeah.
And one more thing, to quote Columbo. One more thing. I feel the use of a semicolon would work in place of the period before "and" in the sentence, or in the quote I gave, just so it's not such an abrupt stop with the period. So so it would be he's on here looking for friends and hookups, which is the same for me, semicolon, and his distance from me is ..
Oh. I was going to say, you know what, this is a semicolon, so I don't understand them, so I'll just say sure. But when you explained it, it actually does sound right.
Yeah, because I remember when I was reading this, it just suddenly stopped, which is the same for me, period. And his distance from me is .. It's feel like that's a way to get around that, that being an "and" at the front of that story, that sentence, is connect those two sentences together.
Yeah, because they are directly related.
Yeah, and you could even I suppose you could also just do away with the "and" too, because hit the semicolon, it's his distance from me is 90 feet. So, but yeah, that's what I got for this this quote and such. So, Mikey, you said something?
Yeah, my issue with this is the 90 feet. So, I don't know if you've used any dating apps, but the ones that I've used that aren't Grindr, but they're basically have a limit to how close it says you are to someone. Okay. And that limit is 1 kilometer.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question, honestly.
Yeah, I am wholly ignorant about the dating app stuff. So, yeah.
Because the thing is, you don't want stalkers to just be on their phone. Oh, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. Ah, they must live in that house.
Yeah,
it's way too close for a dating app.
True. Yeah. But I wonder if maybe, I don't know that. And you said
again, you don't want sexual stalkers.
That is true.
It would be the same.
Yeah. 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 That's fair. that's a whole, because really then you're just asking for horror stories.
Yes, exactly. That being said, all of us don't have direct
knowledge
of the Grindr app, so maybe they're just incompetent over there, who knows. And they just let it go real low.
Well, yeah, because who's to know? I mean, except for people who use Grindr, who can maybe tell us in the comments.
Yeah.
Because, I'm not aware. But, yeah, the 90 feet away, it just seems like such a weird, that is kind of creepy if somebody is that close to you and you can tell that somebody's that close.
Yeah.
Why are they so close?
Yeah. So that's just my comment on that, is that it doesn't make sense from an actual app standpoint to be that close.
Yeah. All right, I'll move on to the next thing I have. Oh, sorry. You're good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right, so I'll move on to the next thing I have. His response was fast. LMAO, yeah, watching the place for my folks this week. So this is like when you find out that like Ike is a neighbor's son and stuff like that. It's like, okay, so weird coincidence, I guess, as to reference what I said, where like that creepy situation is like a weird coincidence at best. Or is it? And then I have an update from after I actually finished reading the story. I mean, it was, but also wasn't, kind of.
Sounds like you know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, it was a weird coincidence, but it was also creepy as shit. But also, like, it was sort of like both. Porque los dos.
Both.
Yeah. But I'll move on.
It's not a coincidence when he's purposefully doing it for 5 months. Well, so.
And that's what I'm getting at. Where it's like, yeah. We're like, initially, before we found out that, like, he, like, it's like, oh, 90 feet. That's really creepy. Like that's just, that's a really weird coincidence. And it's like, oh, we find out he's a neighbor's son. It's like, okay, it is a weird coincidence. But then we find out he's been doing this like in a weird death time loop for 5 months. It's like, okay, that's no longer a coincidence. So it's like, keep jumping back and forth.
Bit of roller coaster.
Yeah, a little bit. But I'll move on to the next thing I have. I watched him take out a movie from a bag. It didn't have any branding on it. What's that? Unbranded DVDs are always a good sign, he says sarcastically.
Yeah.
Like at this point, I'm just like, oh, here we go. And then we get this quote here, actually, that I continue on with. Watch the screen cut to a man tasing another man. They looked like me and Ike, exactly like me and Ike. And it looked exactly like this very moment. Ike, what the hell was that? My whole body is being shocked. It's not stopping at all, but Ike isn't even touching me anymore. What's going on? There it is. That weird creepiness and like the pin drop on like what the creepiness that's supposed to be happening in the story. Which is sad because this started off so sweet. And then Then reality came back in and said, well, this is a creepypasta. Something actually has to happen.
Yes.
It can't all be nice and sunshine and rainbows.
It could be, though, if it was buddy horror.
It could be, yeah. Like, maybe he's into it. Maybe it turns out Sandy's a masochist.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't get that, so.
No.
Yeah, so this is not a buddy horror. This is, sadly, just a true horror. Or a real horror.
Is it real?
Well, I meant like yeah, horror, real horror as in like it's not a buddy horror. It's like more like just a traditional horror story.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And then I have a pretty long quote here. So bear with me. Ike stood up and was now towering over me. It's like I've captured you. You go through your day-to-day life, come home and invite me over like it's the first time we've met. You know now... Or, you know my folks died like 5 months ago, right? Car crash. I was so sad that I didn't even kiss you when I came in that day. Ah, my arm. I can't feel my arm. What I'll never understand is why you, of all people, won't die. It's fascinating. I come in, put on your snuff, let you live your death, and leave. Every time, you come back the next day with no memory of the night. Every single time. What's your secret? I was not expecting this turn of events.
No.
It's like the worst version of Groundhog's Day or like that movie Death Day or Happy Death Day, but like even worse than Happy Death Day because she doesn't like because the character doesn't remember dying. And so it's just trapped in a perpetual loop, except for the killer's the only one that really knows it, like remembers what's going on. I do really like Ike's implied reasoning for doing this. Like it doesn't outright say it, but I got the impression that he seemed traumatized by the sudden death of his parents, and then somehow found that this magic or cursed DVD loops Sandy's death and brings him back for some reason. And so it seems like maybe he's doing this to try and find out like how he might be able to use that to bring his parents back.
Stretch, and then
in like the last 5 months he's been doing this, he's just like lost his, he's been failing sand checks after sand checks and basically just gone insane at this point. So he's just like, it's, he started off trying to use this to figure out a way to bring back his parents and then just went nuts.
What do you mean sand D checks?
Oh shit. Yeah, nice.
That did
nice
not point. Deserve laughter. It's fine.
Yeah. But yeah, so like that's sort of the thing. And there are a bunch of, there's just a bunch of questions throughout the story, despite the fact that I like this implied like potential reasoning for why Ike's doing this. There are a bunch of like questions that, at least in this loop, in this cycle of the loop, don't get answered, such as, how did he get a cursed DVD? Did he make the snuff film with Sandy and then like put on the DVD, or was it already on this DVD? And so like sort of like one of those weird supernatural things where like he found this DVD and saw that it was him and this guy next door, and like was Ike dabbling in some dark postmodern magic prior, and he's the real reason his parents died? Like, he's not actually doing this to try and bring his parents back. He's the reason his parents died in a car crash, and he's doing this as some kind of like way to get his charges for magic in some twisted way. it's twisted, and there's that out of context horror that we don't have any answers to a bunch of questions, I wouldn't mind seeing the story explored. Like I wouldn't mind getting a few more loops to kind of get some more information about the situation, about the circumstances, maybe even get into like the mind of a killer sort of, or the mind of Ike to figure out why he's doing this and like well, I guess it's sort of like that thing in certain shows. It's like, well, I guess you're wondering where we got to this point. And it cuts to like the next loop is actually from Ike's point of view. So it's like, we know Sandy's not going to remember any of this. And so we can get like some information up from Ike's point of view. At the same time, though, I think for a short story, like horror zinger, this also works for me, like not getting any context and just having this really weird fucked up loop. At least if you don't read, as long as you just read like do like a surface reading of the story, because like if you're diving a bit deeper into like the words and into like the situation that's happening here, there's a lot of questions to be asked. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is like I was thrown back by the turn of events of like the horror aspect of it. I like the out of context, like we don't know, we're on the same page as Sandy. We have no idea why any of this is happening. But there are a lot of questions unanswered, and I don't necessarily hate that, but I wouldn't mind seeing a longer version of the story where we get like a couple more loops and we get Ike's point of view, like see his spiral to madness as he maybe tries to bring back his parents, or we just find out why he's doing this. Like, I think that would be really cool. So yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at with all my own spiral. It's not a loop. It's a spiral. set up here with, this turn of events that we get in the story. So, but, yeah, I'll move on to the next thing. I will never understand why I wake up on the floor of my living room every morning. It's the same. Oh no! Hang on. Why does the font have such a small period?
It's especially small.
It really is. Like, it's just in like the font I have. Like it's 11 font on Google Docs. Like where I grabbed this. Okay, let me try this again. I will never understand why I wake up on the floor of my living room every morning. It's the same. I wake up on the floor. And I do the dinosaur. with a searing headache and drenched in sweat. I don't get it. I look at my phone, no new Grindr notifications, typical. Nobody in this town ever uses Grindr at night. So, a final question, like, to top on to the pile of questions I have for, of the story. Is the DVD straight up looping time, like local time? Since it doesn't notice, since Sandy doesn't notice Ike's previous notifications on his phone. So, like, is it like he's dying and forgetting, but his phone would have the notifications from the night before? So has it been 5 months, like, consecutively, or has just the last 5 months just been loops? Has it been 5 months worth of loops for Sandy and, I guess, like, the town or the localized town?
I didn't think about messages on the phone until just now.
Right?
I mean, it's possible that after killing Sandy, he goes in and just deletes the messages.
Maybe, yeah.
So I don't know. All over again.
I'm just very curious, like, is it actually that, like, is Sandy waking up the next morning, not remembering anything that happened the night before and going to work? And then, or like doing his, like, has he been spending the last 5 months progressing his existence in the town and, like, doing, like, either going to work or whatever he's been doing, and then coming home and checking Grindr and then getting that notification from Ike and then getting killed and then dying and then waking up in the next morning and repeating that, like, repeating his pattern, but life is going on? Or is the space-time continuum of that area also affected, like, a la Groundhog's Day?
No idea, because we don't really have a lot of information. Also, that was something I was going to chime in on before. It kind of seems like you're making a lot of assumptions to things that aren't said in the story at all, namely the DVD, and claiming that it's a magical DVD of some kind, where it could literally just be a DVD, and the magic is in, like, Sandy and his resurrection ability for some reason, and he's recording the events to try to, like, find out what's happening.
Ike is looking into that into Sandy.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, the thing with the DVD is, like, the inference I got from that is, in it being possibly cursed or magical, is because when Ike sees, like, what's going on in the thing, like, he gets tasered in the film, and he feels getting tasered in real life. When he is getting, Ike is putting a drill to Sandy, he feels that pain, and he's, like, suddenly, like, he's, like, crippled by it. And, like, and similarly, like, he hears the sound of a gun and then, like, feels one point over the back of his head, like, and it goes off and then it's lights out. So, like, that's what I was kind of getting at. That's what I was thinking was, like, why the DVD was magical or cursed, is because he's feeling the pain of that, unless he's getting, like, weird, like, he's seeing what's going on the film, and it's just, like, retroactively, like, his memory, suddenly his memory of those events are coming back, and he's being crippled by that, like, emotional damage or that, uh-huh, that mental trauma, or, like, of seeing that stuff and, like, realizing that he's lived that again over and over again.
Also, I don't know if the drilling is, like, literal drilling, like, he pulls out a power drill.
Sorry, continue.
I think it just might mean, like, drilling as in, like, focusing on the kidney with the taser, yeah, whatever he's doing.
Maybe, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing, like, also, it does say that, like, that Sandy was feeling this pain, like, from the film and so that, and Ike was no longer near him or even touching him.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I meant by, like, he's feeling, suddenly this pain is happening and something to him, seemingly psychologically or magically. So, like, I guess it could be, like, a mundane thing where it's just, like, his memories are flooding back from, like, the event, and he just keeps, but then, like, why does he die at the end of it? Like, cause unless Ike, like he walks away, but then comes back around, like, from, like, the other side of the room with a gun and just, like, shoots Sandy in the head, in the back of the head, in real life rather than in the, and as well as in the film. That's what I was getting at when I was, like, kind of inferring that, like, the DVD is cursed or magical, because that's what it seemed like to me.
But also, Ike doesn't say a goddamn thing about the DVD. He's more focused in, like, Sandy's resurrection abilities. He doesn't talk about the DVD.
Yes, he does. He
mentions, like, here's a DVD.
And then he says, oh, don't worry. No, keep, we got to keep watching. This is my favorite part. And they keep watching the film. So,
yeah,
like,
but there's no explanation about this DVD at all.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing. Like, that, and you're right. Like, I am looking deep into it, but that's what we do on the show is like from a surface. Like, I was able to enjoy the story. If I was to read this, like, not worry about any of the questions, I could probably I could fully recommend this because it was just a cool, weird time loop horror thing. But the more I read into it, that's why I had it tentatively recommend is because the more I read into things that I was reading in the story, the more I was looking, I was thinking about things in the story, the more I started questioning what the hell's going on. And that's why I feel like the story should probably have, I think the story would probably lend itself to having a longer version with maybe multiple loops from the point of view of Ike.
Mm.
To kind of explain what's going on exactly. I just realized also that this is basically Groundhog's Day if Bill Murray was a slasher. Cause Bill Murray's the only one who could in the Groundhog's Day movie that is aware of the time loop in the town that he's in. And he even says he's basically what if God is just stuck in a time loop because he knows he's omniscient because he knows everything. And that's what happens to Bill Murray. Like, he's gone through so many cycles. He knows exactly what everybody's going to do. And he's the only one. So basically Ike is Bill Murray in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the big question at the very end of the story for me was is this time loop focused on just Ike or the local area around or not Ike focused around Sandy, or is his death loop has he been going to work and progressing life day in, day out, or has this just been the same day and night for 5 months for him and possibly this town? So again, another question to add to my pile of questions, because I dug too deeply into a short story's plot. That's my actual thoughts here. So, Mikey, the East stands for evil.
All right, I'm going to start with something that I didn't realize until this podcast.
Okay.
So, I misread the word tasing.
Okay.
As teasing.
Teasing?
So, I'll give you the context. Okay. So, I could feel his wrist grabbing mine as he started to shove his lips against me. Watch. The screen cut to a man teasing another man. They looked exactly like me and Ike. Exactly like me and Ike. And it looked exactly like this very moment. Ike, what the hell was that? My whole body is being shocked. It's not stopping at all. But Ike isn't even touching me anymore. What's going on? So I just envisioned that it was a really, really good kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, sparks literally flew. Yeah, sparks literally flew as they,
And also because of the exactly section, the exactly like me and Ike, and it looked exactly like this very moment, my mind went to Spaceballs.
Oh, God damn. that moment's passed. When? Just now. When will then be now? Soon.
So good.
Yeah. So that just made me laugh, but then obviously it goes on to say that it was recorded earlier and whatnot. So
yeah.
I was like, okay.
Well, I mean, so was in that scene in Spaceballs, so was the movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, because I didn't read it as tasing.
Oh, no.
I was fine with what was happening to some degree. But when it's actually put in context of tasing, why is Sandy able to talk?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, yeah.
If it's literal tasing or if it's just like a electrical kind of feeling, we don't know specifics.
Yeah, like...
video, is Ike literally taking a taser to him?
That's in the film, that's what I assume is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, and it sort of lends to what you were saying earlier, Gamer. Is this actually happening to real life Sand or like real world Sandy now, like non-film Sandy now? And, or is he just remembering or recalling the painful memories of what happened previously, kind of thing?
Yeah, because if it's a recollection,
then he might be able to talk.
That's what I'm trying to say, yes.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's fine.
I'm terrible at this.
It's fine.
God damn it. All right, sorry. Continue. Yeah.
All right. While I was reading this, I was trying to think, like, well, where's the monster? And you think it's Ike.
Yeah.
Because of the eyes. And then what Ike does, but then it's revealed that Sandy is immortal and just won't die. So in that case, he is also a monster.
Wow.
So...
yeah, Sandy's cheating death. He's supposed to die.
I guess, yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, Ike has just become, or is, a serial killer that is having fun killing someone over and over.
Oh my
and
god.
Like, hey, I'm not getting in trouble for this because he's still alive.
Wait. Is this actually a buddy horror between a serial killer and an immortal? A one-man serial killer? Or a one-victim serial killer? And his immortal victim? Also slash lover?
Maybe.
Wow. Because I remember, like, at the very early in this episode, we were like, oh, this isn't a buddy horror at all. And I was like, wait. We found the secret buddy whore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then my last actual thought here is about him waking up on the floor in his living room every morning and with a headache, drenched in sweat, and he doesn't get it. So my mind went to South Park.
Yes,
Kenny.
Kenny. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to like take like me and Dave or me and Gamer's like mention of Kenny and just sync them up.
Yeah, like, you probably Kenny. Should.
Yeah.
I'm tired, guys. I gotta go to bed.
Jay. Oh my god! Kenny just killed Kenny. Oh god, it's happening again. Oh man, so whoever, if you're not aware of that that episode, what episode is that?
I think that's in a movie.
Isn't that the Mysterio one?
Oh yeah.
When they're playing, right. Yeah, when they're comic book heroes and stuff. I think that's like the end of the their little comic book series of episodes.
Yeah.
Like with the coon and
friends and Cthulhu.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it was the Cthulhu one. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, that's the wow.
Cthulhu song was your ringtone on my phone for a very long time.
I mean, that's accurate.
Herman singing Cthulhu, Cthulhu.
That's just accurate.
Yeah. But we're getting
off topic. Yeah, no, that's whatever said that. It does kind of remind me now of that that episode, Mikey.
Yep.
Yeah, it is exactly his power set because no one remembers.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's the end of my actual thoughts.
All right, Gamer.
Okay. Let's see. So the whole concept of the app tracking how far apart people are, in itself has creepy vibes.
Yeah.
And like, this is me writing this note at the moment of finding out that that's what that means. And I was like, yeah. I don't know if this story will capitalize on that, on the whole distance thing, but I hoped it did. Unfortunately, it did not.
Unfortunately, that was not the creepiness. Yeah.
No, because like a creepier way that this could have been handled if apps actually went down to small increments of feet distance, which they don't.
As far as we know.
But that would be a good way to use like the location while Nair is like called him Nair, know his name at the point. While Ike is like talking to someone. Because it would be a good way to show Nair being stalked. Like literally having like a GPS location of the dude who's trying to kill you. Like as you're hiding in a closet and you can like track him like a freaking alien's motion tracker, basically.
Yeah, like if this turned out to be more like Happy Death Day, where like the victim knows that they're getting killed, mm-hmm. and they realize, oh, wait, I have this app that like this dating app, and I know who the killer is, so I can just try to avoid them. Oh God, they're trailing me.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah, but
no, they're going to defeat because that makes no sense, as they shouldn't. And we already basically talked about how. Like the reveal of what happens in the murdery Groundhog Day situation.
Yeah.
But like, we don't really have a true reason of why, aside from just Ike wants to murder, like for reasons. He just grief from his parents being killed or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Like this loop around, we don't get any context as to what the hell's going on. And then the story ends. So,
yeah. Also, like reading down through the story. The whole plot of like what's happening and like the small amount of exposition drop we got kind of just came out of left town, like just out of nowhere, it felt. And like, given the amount of times that he's killed Sandy, it kind of seems silly for him to like drop exposition on him months into doing this.
Yeah.
Like, well, how many times has he told him, oh, you don't remember? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and that. You think like after like 5 months is a long 5 months of doing this every night is a little like that. Would you not like as a serial killer, would you not be getting bored? Or like as somebody who's gone, maybe because he's just gone insane from like trying to like bring trying to figure crack the code of like why Sandy's coming back from the from these events. And just gone nuts. So now he's just like, that's the definition of insanity when you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Mm. So like maybe he's just gone insane and just like that's, he is actually just repeating the same exposition over and over again. He's also in a way trapped in the loop.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. It just kind of felt like this is Murder 3, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Murder. How many months?
It's 5 months. So how many? So like, well, 30, 20,
90 30 days roughly.
Yeah, 90 kills in.
And he's yeah.
Still, at this point, like he's still giving exposition.
It seems a little silly. If it was backed up to 3 or 4 days, it would be more believable. Because at this point, he would like knock on the door. Sandy would open the door and he'd just shoot him in the head and leave. Like,
yeah, well, I'd even give him like about a week or so, like give him a little bit, not like 5 months, but like a few, maybe a week or so. Because at that point, like you have enough time where you like, we get the setup of him, like getting used to doing this kind of thing or trying to figure this thing out. And then, but he's still at that point where it's plausible that like after a week or so, he's still giving the exposition, even though he knows it's not going to matter.
Yeah. But maybe he's thinking, like, if I talk to Sandy differently each time, maybe I'll actually get some information as to why he can respawn, like, what he's done lately, you know?
In the 5 months, this is actually the first time he's actually done the exposition bit.
Wow. Maybe like, I should just talk to him.
Yeah, maybe yeah. Just, yeah, exactly.
Also, I think it was said earlier that that you believed, basically, 5 months ago they started dating and he immediately killed him first go. It doesn't sound like that's how it is at all, though, because he said, like, 5 months ago, my family died, and on that day, I didn't even kiss you, which makes it sound like he's come back multiple, he's known him before then.
Yeah, but then, well, it does, yeah, so has he actually been killing him prior to that, like, and him forget, or is he just forgetting like the night's thing before? Like, is it actually
Yeah, I think he's been killing him even longer than five so months. Because just after the 5 months, he was just sad that day, so he didn't kiss him on that murder day.
So then here's a question also. Yeah, so like, is it actually have nothing to do with the DVD? It's actually all that, like again, Ike's just a serial killer, and he's found his perfect victim, and they've actually been doing this for years.
Pretty much.
And it's just like, in the last 5 months, he lost his parents. Maybe he's okay. So maybe it's been going on prior to the parents dying, and when the parents died, because that's how Ike knew, Ike knew about like the whole Sandy not remembering his own death or what have you and some of that. So he's been experimenting on like that stuff with Ike or with Sandy the last like 5 months to see if he can tap into that to bring his parents back.
Yeah.
But previously it was just for fun, for shits and giggles and for fun because he's a psychotic killer.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, definitely, but yes.
Well, at least
that's possibly the reason is what I meant.
Yeah. And again, this is what happens when like we don't get a lot of context. It leaves us room to just like think of all these weird little like ask the questions ourselves and try to figure things out ourselves.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
So actually, my last note here. So Sandy gets killed like every day, wakes up the next morning, and does not remember what happened. Okay, but the story's written in first person. So, like, immersion-wise, it's weird because how would Sandy remember any of this to put it on the internet?
So, I think this is a case where it's not actually an immersion thing. The person who wrote it, like Serena Wrights, wrote this. I think this is my guess. They wrote it in this style so that we'd get that kind of zinger at the end where Sandy's going through all of this stuff that night, and then when he dies, he comes back, and we get his first-person perspective of not remembering any of it.
But if you do it in a third-person narrator, it kind of makes more sense.
Maybe, I guess.
That being said, how would a like third-person narrator? Why is he narrator? Narrator. Like post shit on the internet, like that doesn't make sense either. So
yeah. I think at this point, like, you have to kind of just scrap the idea of this, like, why is this getting online? It's like, it's online because it's a story. Like, it's just, it's not actually, in terms of that aspect of the immersion, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, this isn't meant to be, like, a real world, oh, I believe this is actually happening in our world situation. Yeah.
This is more of, like, one of those, like, films that, if you're to take it into, like, a film context, this is more of, like, a film that is just constantly like following one character throughout the entirety of the movie rather than being a found footage. Like it's a film that's focusing on one character and all their stuff, but it's not like they don't actually have a camera and it's like through the camera's like lens and stuff he doesn't actively have the camera in his hand. It's the camera's just like basically on his shoulder watching him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's basically the long and short of what I have to say about it.
Okay. Then I suppose we'll move on to final thoughts. So like I've said before, I liked it. The twist is weird and made me go, what the fuck? and like the looping reveal is very Outer Limits or like Twilight Zone sort of like episode plot. For me, that's in a good way. That said, though, I'm not sure if I want the circumstances explained or not. Like for me, this kind of feels like, oh, like on the surface, if you're just reading this, not looking too deep into it, I think it would work because it gets that kind of weird Outer Limits Twilight Zone kind of vibe. But the more you read into it, the more I want like a longer version of this story with a few more loops or a few more like cycles. And maybe like this is the first loop from Sandy's point of view, but then the next couple are from Ike's point of view as we get more information about his reasoning or his spiral to madness for doing this kind of stuff? Like, give us a little bit more background about what's going on.
Yeah.
But like, part of me also just worries about like that ruining the mystique of the ending and stuff of that. So it's like, would too much exposition or explanation of the situation ruin what I liked about the surface reading of it? So yeah, that's why I was a tentative recommendation. I might push mine down to a partial recommendation, because if you want to just read the story from the surface level, I think you'll enjoy it. But if you want to read, if you read more into the story, you want more. And I think this story would actually merit having a longer version of it that gives us another cycle, but from Ike's point of view, to explain why this is all happening, or like come up with a proper, or give us some more like background on the situation.
Yeah, because it starts to explain it, but it doesn't finish.
Yeah,
I would rather it not explain anything or explain it properly, you know?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a one-sided phone call conversation.
Yeah.
Like, we're only getting the one side. We don't have the other side. And like, that can be horrifying depending on what that call is. Like, that can be like terrible and tragic and terrifying if you only get the one side of the call. But, and then if you get both sides, it could be even worse, or it might not be better. So yeah, I think I'm going to push it to mine to like a partial recommendation, based on just like surface level reading, you might enjoy it. Deeper reading into the actual like word, the idea and word that's going on here, there's a lot of questions, and I think it would merit more elaboration. So, Mikey, he stands for evil.
Well, let's see here. I didn't like the whole 90 feet away portion of it, because apps don't work that way.
That we know of. Again, we gotta keep stating that. Like, we don't use Grindr. We don't know anything about it. So,
you can't possibly.
I mean, it would be weird if it was, but like, maybe that is how they work. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then when I initially envisioned the Spaceballs thing happening with the magic DVD, I thought that was hilarious. But once this started and we got the whole tasing aspect of it, then for me it destroyed this story even more for me, because Sandy keeps talking even though they've been tased. Like, if you've seen someone tased, they go down and they're not doing anything until their brain registers that, oh, I can do things again. So
it's really designed to incapacitate human beings. That being said, Andy's an immortal.
Like, if
you're tasing Captain America.
Yeah, or like, yeah, or yeah, any, yeah, exactly. It's like tasing Captain America. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, or tasing Thor, because Thor can still be tased.
And he gets
Thor Ragnarok, he has that little like device on the back of his neck.
Is that weird? This is complete random. Isn't it weird that the God of Thunder can be tased?
Hey, listen, man, we're covering plot holes in a creepypasta today. We're not covering the plot holes in Marvel.
All right.
Maybe it's a different kind of electricity or energy.
I just know he gets hit by lightning and empowers him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's yeah. Yeah, so I still do not like this story, so I'm still not going to recommend it.
Okay, fair enough. Also, it's on my Google search now, but I did actually look up how accurate Grindr distances are.
Oh no.
So this is actually from the help section of Grindr.com. Grindr collects your location info within a 100 meter radius of accuracy. You can toggle our show distance option on or off. When show distance is on, your relative distance is used to arrange the grid based on distance and display an approximate relative distance between you and another member.
So it ain't feet.
No, it isn't feet. It's within 100. Apparently, it's within 100 meter radius of accuracy.
You say 100 or 1,000?
100.
Yeah.
Gotta get your ears checked, man.
Yeah, I do. Also, I don't know the conversion, so I had to do that real quick while I quite. It's like 330 feet.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not 90 feet.
That's still relatively close.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, it's not 90.
Yeah. But
so I feel like the fact that it's 90 should be the first red flag.
Oh yeah,
that absolutely. Sandy has, where it's like, wait, how is this 90? It never goes that low.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, he does have that reaction.
No, but he doesn't question it as being weird, as like being impossible on the app. It's just okay, like, guy just happens to be this close to me. Cool, that's normal.
Well, no, that's why he nervously like laughs it off in the reply. It's like, hey, why are you so close? Like holding his like collar a bit. But he definitely does not like question the app's aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we've been talking about it and like constantly saying it's like, we don't know.
We have no way of knowing.
That's actually what prompted it. Like, we have no way of knowing. It's like, I mean, I could just Google like what the distances are for grinders.
No, we have to be incompetent at our jobs here.
Yes, clearly. We are professionally unprofessional.
Yeah, it's on brand for us. At least for me.
I mean, the all of us, really.
Yeah, to an extent.
But so transitioning over to Gamer, your recommendation.
Wait, that was your final thoughts.
Yeah, your final thoughts.
Talk a while there. So sadly, like my headcanon of the location-based horror was like locked in as soon as I understood what the title meant.
No.
So I foolishly went, well, of course this would happen. Why wouldn't they? So I kind of like set myself up for failure because I was expecting the whole like the dude shows up and then tries to attack Sandy and Sandy runs away and hides. And then like, you can see the location and he's like, oh, he's over there. I gotta go over here, run away, you know, have that kind of things happen, but that didn't happen. So when I got to the reveal of like the weird, like resetting and like magic-y immortal stuff happening, I just wasn't into it. And there isn't much creepiness to it either, honestly, like partly due to like there being no real immersion for me, which is what makes or breaks most stories when I read them, is like, can I get into them? And I just couldn't with this one, partially because I wanted it to be one thing and it was something else, so that's my fault. But
yeah,
it's kind of weird. And like the lack of motive on the killer kind of hurts it, because we have to like think about what his motive potentially is and weave this story of trying to resurrect his parents through it, even though that wasn't said at all.
Yeah. So like where I enjoy that kind of horror, it didn't do anything for you.
No, because it was like, it was going all over the place. And none of those places were places I wanted to be.
Gotcha.
Is the way that it was for my read personally.
Yeah.
So I'll unfortunately not recommend it, but the idea of a location-based like slasher tracking you down is kind of neat.
Oh,
but
man.
I don't know how you would do that in a realistic situation, because apps don't go that low.
I have a really fun idea that just came from that from what you just proposed there. So it's a virus that somebody puts like a cyber hacker kind of, or like virus that somebody like can infect. Like maybe they found a way to get into like a dating app's like data, like updates and stuff like that, and like plant this virus, or made it look like an update, but it's actually it subsumes the previous version of the app and turns it into this kind of like very stalker centric app. So like I even have a title for the story right now, Stalker, with no E at the end.
Oh shit! Instead of Grindr,
instead of Grindr or Tinder, it becomes Stalker.
Stalker.
Yeah, Stalker. It's like, oh god, that would be so good for that would also be really good for like a horror movie, like where like it's just like their dating app, whether it be Tinder or Grindr or any of those ones that just like it's like the app changes because of some kind of an update, and it turns into the Stalker, which basically like it takes their database and gives it to a bunch of creepy like people, or even like or like, just a bunch of creepy people or groups. And so they just start stalking people in the story or scenario.
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
That'd be so creepy and so cool if it was that situation. Not cool in like the creepy fiction way. Not like,
yeah, of course
that would not be cool in real life.
But no,
in terms of like a story, that would be like really interesting for to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Unfortunately, this one does not go that way.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess end of the day, two non-recommendations and one mostly positive partial recommendation. Just depends on how you read the story, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
I use my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So that'll do it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, or if you didn't, leave us a comment in the comment section below. This gets posted. We're all on Twitter. Mikey is at the East Ends for Evil. The Gamer Nail is at the Gamer Nail, but without that W at the end, because his name is very long.
Yeah, don't have a choice at this point.
No. And I'm at Review Cultist. I'm also on Blue Sky as Review Cultist. You can also send us emails at aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. That's aldenterigamortis@gmail.com. We're going to also leave suggestions for other creepypastas, SCPs, spooky things. You creep it, we'll peep it. Yeah! And if you'd like to help support our show financially, you can go to Patreon. Select the backer tier you'd like to support us at. We have $2 and $5 tiers, special episodes, early access, extra content. To our patrons that are helping support the show, thank you immensely. You're helping keep those hosting bills at bay. As always, we very much appreciate that. And to our listeners and the authors of these stories, thank you immensely, because without your listenership, it'd be like screaming into the void. And without your authorship, without these stories that you write, you post online, and you share with us directly via an email, even, we really wouldn't have much of a show, because we'd have nothing to talk about. Like, this was a really cool, like, despite the fact that two of three of us don't recommend the story, it still got us talking and got us like thinking and stuff like that. So
yeah, for sure. Like, there's concepts that can come from the story that are very good. Just the story itself just didn't resonate with me personally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always going to happen. Like, because we're all different perspectives. But yeah, no, again, regardless, thank you for writing these stories, posting them online, and even directly submitting them to us. So yeah. Until next time, I have been your host, Review Cultist.
I'm Mikey, the East Ends for Evil.
And I'm the Gamer in Yellow.
And this has been Aldente Rigamortis. Sleep well.